On the back of your bulletin, there's a place to write down scripture references. I'll give you a few verses here this morning that I hope you'll take with you. And we have the bulletins. You probably already have one. We have pens available. Please help yourself if you need one. I'd like to ask you to join me this morning in Deuteronomy chapter 30. It's the fifth book of your Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy chapter number 30. And we'll open up there in just a moment. I'll give you a chance to find the word, the spot there, and we'll make our confession. Deuteronomy chapter 30. And if you're there, if you would join me as we make our confession together, the words are on the screen, and we invite you to join us there as well. Let's just express our confidence in the Lord, His Spirit to speak to our hearts today. I believe you're here for a reason. I don't think anyone kidnapped you. And or whatever to capture you, bring you here. So we're here for the Lord, and we're here to receive from Him. We're here to give from Him. So let's just make our confession today. Would you join me? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By its truth, I am set free. Free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. My mind is alert, my heart is open, my spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 14. The Lord speaking, but the Word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. The word is very near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart, because he just finished telling them, don't think this is way off somewhere, like it's unattainable to you. No, the word is near you. It's in your heart. It's in your mouth, at least if you put it in there. And then if you drop down to verse 19, again, God says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. And notice how we choose life here. The Lord continues speaking. That you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him. I'll finish the verse. For he is your life. Notice that. It's not just we add him onto an already busy schedule and try to throw him in there somewhere. He is your life. So he says, the Lord is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. So here is the scripture here when he says, choose life. Choosing life is to love God and do his word. Choose life. Love God and do his word and cling to him. Now, here in the New Covenant, the New Testament, we're not promised a specific spot of land like the nation of Israel. But we do have promises that if we choose to love the Lord, we believe in and follow him, that he gives us life. He gives us spiritual life, and he gives us eternal life. And many of you are familiar with the scripture. If you want to write it down, I'll just read it to you. It's Jesus speaking in John chapter 10. John chapter 10 and verse 10, Jesus says these words, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. And then he goes on in verse 27 of that same chapter. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Notice this. They hear my voice, they follow me, and I give them eternal life. Eternal life is knowing the Lord. It's knowing God as Father. It's knowing Jesus as Lord. And when we love God and do his word, he blesses us with blessings that are life-giving, not life-damaging or life-destroying. So the message this morning is simply two words, choose life. Choose life as God directs us. He gives us the word here. He said, I'm setting before you choices. Therefore, choose life. Love God. Do His word. Love God. Do His word. He is our source of life. He is our life. Cling to Him. Today and the next couple of Sundays, I like to focus on some contemporary issues that are very important in our culture. And they're controversial issues only because we do not agree on who is the highest authority, and we do not agree on a standard of truth. I'm not just trying to be controversial, but that's just the reality. Again, because we do not agree as to who is the highest authority, we do not agree as to a standard of truth. Some don't even believe there is such a thing as absolute truth. But please know this. I'm sure you already do. But someone's authority and someone's morality influences. Someone's authority and someone's morality affects every law that is passed. Someone's authority and morality influences the information that is taught in our schools at every level, from the youngest on through doctorate levels. Someone's authority and someone's morality influences the information that is communicated by the news outlets. That's right. Someone's authority and someone's morality influences the messages that are promoted by the entertainment and advertising industries. Share something with you real quick, just the timing of this. Because I had already started to work on the message. I'm getting, studying and seeking to prepare. And the other night, one night I went up. Some of y'all have, I guess all of you probably now, have. If you have a TV, you have a remote. And in our system, you have the remote and you can point it at it and pull up a guide and it'll show you what's there, like you can see what's coming up. And so I turned it on. I saw this particular program was coming up. It was like we'd call a crime drama, I guess, maybe. And so I saw the title of it was called Life Choice. And I said, oh, let me see what that's about. So I hit info and let me tell you exactly what it says so that I don't misquote it because I wrote it down. It said, and this is from 1990, so it was a rerun, all right? 1990, and I'm just watching it this week. But the info said, a two-faced anti-abortion advocate becomes a martyr when she is killed in the bombing of a clinic. A two-faced anti-abortion advocate. I don't watch this show, I haven't watched it like typically for years to know. I don't know if they ever did any episodes showing a pro-life perspective. I wouldn't necessarily hold my breath on that one. But watching the episode, what happened was it turned out that there was back and forth. And, outside the clinic there, they had people holding signs and yelling, don't kill your baby. Abortion is a sin. But while they were doing that, it was coming across almost like in a mocking way. You know, in the Bible, in the New Testament, how Paul and Silas went into an area and this young lady who had a spirit of divination in her, and she was saying, these men are servants of the Most High God. She was saying something that was true, but it was in a mocking way. And it was done by a demonic spirit. It wasn't done by the Spirit of the Lord. So as it turned out, to follow the episode through, the young lady who was killed, she was like pro-life. But she was actually going there to have an abortion because she had gotten pregnant herself and wasn't married. So that's how it was coming across. And again, just thinking about, and I'm not getting to mention the name of this. That's not the issue. It's just out there. It's in the culture. And so as followers of Jesus, there shouldn't be any doubt about who is the highest authority. God is the highest authority, and His word is absolute truth. Now, if we claim to be a Christian, and we do not believe that God is the highest authority and His word is absolute truth, I don't know what you're basing your Christianity on, because Jesus endorsed this word, and this word prophesied about Him. And Jesus said, if you hear my voice and follow me, I'll give you eternal life. I'll change your heart. And that's the first step of choosing life, is to choose the life giver, to choose the one who gives spiritual life, to choose the one who gives eternal life. And I'm going to give you some verses here again if you want to write this down. Let me read you this one from 1 Peter 3:15. Because we live in a day when our beliefs will be challenged. Our beliefs will be challenged. So I want to ask you this before I read the verse. Well, let me read it first. 1 Peter 3:15, you follow along on the screen if you like. It says, but in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being ready to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. So how we come across is very important, because we could be speaking truth, but we could turn people away by coming across in an arrogant or maybe just a hostile, harsh, disrespectful way. So I want to ask you this. Can you give sound reasons for what you believe to your sons and daughters? Can you give sound reasons for the hope, the Christian hope that's in you, to your coworkers or maybe your neighbors, maybe someone you go to school with, to your friends? Can you give sound reasons? Please don't just blow it off and say, well, I just know that I know. That's fine if you just got saved, but have a solid foundation. We're told in the scripture that we need sound reasons. So I want to give you some reasons here. If you want to take them with you, write them down. Each of these next couple of weeks or so, I'll even give you, I hope, what you'll see as evidence that the Word of God really is inspired. Because I could say, well, the Bible says this, but if you don't believe the Bible is any more worthy of anything else than whatever, you know, another book that comes along or your college textbook or whatever it may be, you're not going to give it the time of day. So, but the Bible claims to be inspired, but is there any evidence? I could write a book and tell you it's inspired. So I want to give you a couple of verses here real quick, and then we'll go on with the topic itself. But you want to write these down, I'll give them to you quickly. Isaiah 44, Isaiah chapter 44 and verse number 24. Isaiah 44, 24. This is what the Word of God says here, beginning in verse, again, 24. The Bible says this, the Lord speaking, thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, and he who formed you from the womb. I am the Lord who makes all things, who stretches out the heavens all alone, who spreads abroad the earth by myself. I love this. Who frustrates the signs of the babblers and drives diviners mad, who turns wise men backward and makes their knowledge foolishness. Notice, he confirms the word of his servant. The Bible says God watches over his word to fulfill it. He confirms the word of his servant and performs the counsel of his messengers. Notice what he says, who says to Jerusalem, you shall be inhabited. To the cities of Judah, you shall be built, and I will raise up her waste places. Two more verses. Who says to the deep, be dry, and I'll dry up your river. Who says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and he shall perform all my pleasure, saying to Jerusalem, you shall be built, and to the temple your foundation shall be laid. Now, Isaiah wrote, designated Cyrus as the man who would defeat the Babylonians, because they're the ones who came in and destroyed the temple, destroyed Jerusalem, took the people captive. Isaiah wrote, Cyrus will defeat Babylon, and he will issue a decree to rebuild Jerusalem and the temple. You say, well, what's the big deal about that? It was written almost 150 years before Cyrus was even born. Secular historians like Josephus wrote about it and said people took him that scripture to show him, and he was so moved by it that he decided to do what it said. He wasn't like just a Bible believer, we might say, but God predicts. See, God knows. Now, if you think that was just coincidence that this man wrote the very name of the one who would do these things, all right. I don't see it that way. Let me give you one more real quick. Isaiah 49. So Isaiah 44 and then Isaiah 49. Two verses, verses 5 and 6. And the Bible says this. Isaiah 49, verses 5 and 6. And again, here is a prophetic scripture. And now the Lord says, who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him so that Israel is gathered to him. For I shall be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. This was actually spoken prophetically. He says, indeed, he says, is it too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel? He said, that's not going to be enough. I'm going to give you as a light to the Gentiles that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. Now, let me ask you this real quick. Is there a world religion today? Are there any world religions? There are a few of them, right? We come up maybe a handful. How many world religions proclaim salvation? Maybe there's two or three or so many. How many world religions proclaim salvation to Jew and Gentile, and it would be predominantly among those who are non-Jewish? And then how many of those world religions, not only are they a world religion, they proclaim salvation that's predominant among non-Jews, but the source of the salvation is the Jewish Messiah. You just narrowed it down to one. Jesus alone fulfills that prophecy. Here we are 2,700 years after it was written. If you think, again, that's coincidence, someone probably would like to meet you and sell you something. I'm not trying to belittle you. I'm just saying it seems like evidence for inspiration to me. The fact is, if someone rejects scriptural authority, whose authority do they accept? Because they're accepting someone's. They're embracing something that they consider to be true, even if they say they don't believe in absolute truth. Here's the bottom line if you want to write it. In fact, would you turn there with me, Psalms 19? Psalms 19. We read these words because this really is, I think, is one of the reasons why, I know it is, why some people reject the authority of God and His Word is because they don't want to live by God's standards. That's really the issue. It's not so much intellectual. For some, it may be. For many, it's more spiritual and emotional. Maybe they've been hurt or they've seen something happen in life and they say, there can be no God because this is so bad. Yes, there is a God and He knows it's bad and He did something about that evil, but we have to be willing to do our part to side with Him if we ever want to get out of it. Psalms 19, the Bible says these words in verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. God's word will change our heart if we will allow it, if we will submit ourselves to it. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Would you say that with me? The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. And he goes on, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Lord knows we need His wisdom today. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. We need the reverence of God, I think, today more than we've ever needed. Taking the Lord seriously, not just blowing Him off. He says the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. That would be something if we really did that. If we desired God's word more than money, wouldn't that be something? Yes, much than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. There is great reward. Texas, I believe it was earlier this year, passed a law called the Heartbeat Law. And again, I'm not going to mention names, but in one of the high school graduations there in Texas, there was a young lady. She was a valedictorian of her class, so obviously she was a very smart young lady. But she kind of went off her speech, and she said this during her speech. And I've seen her on the interviews, and like I said, this young lady, I only wish the best for her. But here is what she said in her graduation speech. I'm terrified, this high school graduation, I'm terrified that if my contraceptives fail, I'm terrified if I'm raped, then my hopes and aspirations and dreams and effort for my future will no longer matter. I hope that you can feel how gut-wrenching that is. I hope you can feel how dehumanizing it is to have the autonomy over your own body taken away from you. The autonomy of your own body. Again, please don't think of this lady or any other person as our enemy. It's very important. If we make people our enemy, we're going to fight the wrong battles and we're going to fight with the wrong weapons. Our adversary is Satan. and our battles are primarily spiritual, and our weapons are primarily prayer and the Word of God, because God can change the heart, and prayer can go in and do open up doors where no human could ever force. So let's not make people, I disagree with this young lady, but I love her and only wish her the best, and her family. Again, very bright young lady, I'm sure, but she's not my enemy. I know who my enemy is. Choose life. Choose life. So let me give you these verses. I'll try to make it quick and wrap up. What does the Word of God say about life? And what does the Word of God say about life in the womb, before birth? So again, if you want to write these down, here we go. Number one, here's the first one. What is the truth about life? Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. Again, I'm not trying to, you know, make this something you're going to beat over the head with someone, but to offer hope. I wish I could speak to some young people today and help them to see you're valuable. You're not just a mindless process of evolution that just happened to survive natural selection or, you know, chance and so forth. No, you are designed and you are special and you have a purpose for God. The Bible says in Genesis 1:26, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, birds of the air, and over the cattle, all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. You're created in the image of God. Over in chapter 2 and verse 7, chapter 2 and verse 7, the Bible says that God formed this body out of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into it the breath of life, and man became a living being. So again, you're not an accident. What does the Word of God say about life? It says that God is the creator of life. God is the giver of life. And because of that, I want you to know today, whether you're here or streaming or listening, you have built-in value. You are valuable. Life is precious. Death is a consequence of sin. Choose life. Love the Lord and do His word. Follow Him and let Him be your life. He is the designer. He created you for a purpose. Let me give you these verses that talk about life before birth. Jeremiah 1:5. Jeremiah 1:5, the Bible says this. Then the word of the Lord, verse 4, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you, and I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Notice that. He says, I knew you, I set you apart. That's what it means to be sanctified, and I ordained you as a prophet to the nations. It was prophesied about John the Baptist that his mom would be, actually that he would be filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. And this is what it says in Luke 1:44. In Luke chapter 1, verse 44, John's mom, Elizabeth, said, for indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting, she had met Jesus' mother Mary had come to see her. She had just become pregnant. Elizabeth was about 6 months along. And she said, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. The baby in her womb responded to the Holy Spirit coming upon him. I'm not saying that was intellectual. I'm just saying the baby responded to the presence of God. But that went on inside of her womb. And then let me give you this one. It's Psalms 139. I want to read it to you from the New Living Translation. Here's what I'd like to ask you to do. I want to ask you, as I'm reading this, would you picture yourself saying these words to God? I love the Psalms that way too. I remember hearing a brother I learned years ago, even during worship, like read the Psalms like you wrote them, like you're singing them to God, or some of the prayers like you're praying them to God. There's such a range of emotion and experience. But I love how this is worded in Psalm 139, beginning in verse 13. So if you picture yourself saying this to God, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. I hope that makes you feel special. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They cannot be numbered. You matter to God. You are special. Would you turn around someone next to you and just tell them, you matter to God? Choose life. Choose life. Now, some may say, well, when does life begin? Well, I took biology about 14 months ago because, you know, I'd taken some college classes. And in my textbook, and I learned, you know, all the different, you know, versions, so forth, I guess. But this is what the professors quoted in my textbook. The textbook is called Life by Design, if you want to check it out. They said the process of development, like development of a human in the womb, the process of development uses information in the nucleus of a single cell. Life, new life, begins at conception. New life is programmed into one cell, and then through the process, the design of God, it grows from there and there and there. But that development that starts in that one cell, the information is programmed, must be like some incredibly talented designer who did all of this and put it in there. And it actually continues all the way through adulthood. So we're here for a reason. And new life begins at conception. I want to give you one last scripture, but I want to show you a couple of images here. I know those of you who are listening right now, you won't be able to see this, but I would like to just put up a couple of images. Were you able to get both? Okay, thank you. The first one, I believe, is an image from a medical website in the womb of a 12-week-old. Okay, so just take a look here. And as I'm looking at this picture, I'm reminded of one of the ladies here. You showed me your grandson, didn't you, Sherry? And was that Sherry? Did you show me, was it Ezra? Did you show me, or Eleni, one of them from, it was like a 4D ultrasound, wasn't it? You showed me on your phone. It's incredible to be able to see the technology now. So this is about 12 weeks, and you kind of see the development. Still very early, okay, and then this one is 20, right? 20 weeks, look at that. Look at the difference. Now, please just hold it up just a second. It looks like he's sucking his thumb, or she is. I don't know. Can't see that far. But you see right here, we've been praying. There's a little baby that if you get our prayer request I've mentioned, I just mentioned the first name, Eleanor, that we've been praying for her. And she, when she was born, she was only about 5 weeks further along than this picture right here. And she weighed 1 pound, 6 ounces. She hasn't been able to go home yet. She's been in the hospital, man. She's been a tough little girl. But she's been praying through, and I got a text last night. God willing, she's over 9 pounds now. She will be going home Tuesday, God willing. Thank God. Amen. I'm telling you, that's the blessing of God. Children are a blessing. Do you see why I'm not critical, but it's deception to think that it's only about the woman's body. There's another body involved with its own separate DNA, its own separate blood type, maybe its own separate gender. And so the design of God, every life is precious and it's valuable. Choose life. And I'll say this. I want to say maybe some parents, I understand, there are some situations that could be where it would be very difficult for maybe a young couple or for whatever reason to be able to raise that child. I understand. But if parents choose life, there are good options available. And there are people who would love their child and raise and take care of their little baby and give it the best, just like it was their very own body. And for those who've been hurting, I know many people are hurting from abortion. Some, you know, maybe some women who've experienced and they have regret. Even some dads maybe regret making that decision. I want to say this. I'm not here to condemn anyone. I thank God that Jesus came to this earth And he suffered and died on the cross to pay for all sins. And if we will simply turn to him with repentance and faith, we can be forgiven and given a brand new start. And someone who's hurting, Jesus will walk you through the healing process if you'll just stay in close fellowship with him. I personally know those who've had abortions in their past. Now, I didn't go digging for that information. They volunteered it to me. And this is just me talking now. Every one of them are now Christians. They promote life, and they're walking with the Lord. But that promise and that hope is available to us all. So again, choose life. It's about loving God and doing his word. Again, every area. See, let me close. Last two verses. Psalms 1. Let me read them to you. Psalms 106. Psalms 106, verses 37 and 38, and I'm done. I know it's a lot of verses. Psalms 106, 37 and 38. I just want you to have the information and be equipped. The Bible speaks of those, it says, even sacrifice their sons and daughters to demons and shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Innocent blood pollutes a land. And I admit, it's not just... innocent blood can be in the womb or out of the womb. God is a just God, and we choose life at every stage of development, if that is an option. For some people, maybe a machine is keeping them alive, and it's their desire to not be resuscitated. That's their desire. That doesn't mean they're just choosing death. It realizes that this life will one day end. That's all. So it's not condemning of anyone, but choose life. Choose life. Love the Lord. And do his word. Children are a blessing. I want to close with this, just between you and the Lord now, but in your own heart. Will you love God and do his word? Will you be a voice of truth and compassion to promote life? A voice of truth and compassion to promote and choose life. And I believe if we will, God will use us. Again, we're not against people. In fact, I believe there's someone even right now, and you're weighing out some decisions. And maybe there are some options that it might look good in the natural, but if you were to choose that option, it's going to cut into your time with the Lord. It's going to draw your family away from the Lord instead of drawing them to him. And I want to encourage you, please seek God and choose life. Choose whatever might be life-giving at every area of our lives. So can we just stand together this morning? I want to lead us in prayer. Again, will you pray? Will you seek to promote God and his will and seek the Lord? Choose life.